The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into Let's Edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Shaka Hislop, Ali Moreno. Yes, you thought he went back to France, but no, he's back again. Frank Leboeuf.
Till the end.
Well,
according to what I saw with France, till the end.
All right, okay. Well, we'll talk about France a little later on. We also welcome to the show Nadim and a very upset Sebastian Salazar as Mexico have lost 1-0, of course, against Argentina.
2-0.
2-0. I forgot about Fernandez's goal late on. We will talk about Mexico and where it went wrong for them later on, but there's really only one place to start, and that has got to be Lionel Messi. Who was the difference today?
He was. In a game that, up until that point, let me just tell you, had it not been a World Cup game, everybody in the studio and everybody watching at home would have turned the channel because he had been awful. The tension and the ambience in the stadium sort of brought the level up, if you will, or the level of interest. But the game itself, the quality simply was not there. And it wasn't there from Argentina. It wasn't there from Mexico, who simply were trying not to lose. As for Lionel Messi, up until that point, the rhetoric would have been he's walking around. He has been ineffective. He has been inefficient. He's not impacting the game. And then Mexico has a brilliant idea, and that is let's leave Lionel Messi wide open, top of the 18-yard box, and in a moment of high tension where Argentina needed it the most, Lionel Messi delivers. So whatever the conversation was up until that point, after that, Lionel Messi and Argentina became a different team. You can feel the release of that pressure and the release of that tension, what it meant to him, what it meant to Argentina, what it meant to the fans. Only one team was trying to win this game from there on out, and that was Argentina. Mexico, mami. And I mean, oh, mommy, going back to Lionel Messi, what a moment for him and a moment that was needed. We talk about Lionel Messi and delivering big moments. This is delivering big moments.
It really was. Let's not forget, if Argentina lost this game, they were out. They were going home, Frank. And you could feel that tension building throughout the first half. Terrible opening 45 minutes. And as Ali said, right up until that Messi goal, it was a tense, horrible, ugly affair. But then that goal just changed everything.
It did, and first I want to congratulate the fans, you know, because they put the atmosphere.
Yeah,
they gave the
best atmosphere we'd seen.
Yeah, and the rest, the best energy that you can get out of the fans, and especially for a World Cup final. And but the problem, the players, they got carried away the wrong way, so they were trying to give too much energy maybe into it, making stupid fouls. On top of it, when it's all about, when I heard it was an aggressive game, no, it was all about faking. Cheating, even lying to the ref. So on top of it, if you put an Italian ref, every time somebody's on the floor, he gives a free kick, you have the worst first half of the maybe the entire World Cup history. I, as you said, I wanted to switch off the TV because I say that's not the kind of football I want to see. Yeah, you can be bad, but at least you try to play. Don't try to fool the entire world with your football and with your stupid pretending stuff. When I remember the captain of Mexico, Cuadrado, you know, pretending that Lautaro Martinez hit him where his foot was like 2 feet away from his face. And I said, come on, you have to stop that. Then the ref gave a free kick. Say, that's not the kind of football I like. It's true, exactly, that when Messi scored, that was another game. Yeah. Suddenly, players start to think about playing football. And Argentina showed to the world that they were better than Mexico overall.
Zani said you could almost see the scripts being written.
Yeah.
You know, lost against Saudi Arabia. He was anonymous in that game on the penalty. Did nothing until that strike.
I mean, I know, and we'll get to Mexico in a minute, but it seems the only people who did not read that script were Tata Martino and the Mexico squad, because their approach to the game was simply amazing to me in all the wrong ways. But to your point, Lionel Messi picks a ball up in space, sitting in the half spaces in between Mexican line of defense and their midfield. And even so, And as much as we'll criticize Mexico, he picks his ball up, somehow finds space, but is an awfully long way out and has to beat Ochoa with a strike that had to be exact. And it was. And in all honesty, I think the only player on the park who could have done that was Lionel Messi. And it speaks to his brilliance that you afford him one opportunity, and that's what he produces, and that's all it takes to change a game and dare I say, change Argentina's own prospects around this World Cup. Well, while we sing Lionel Messi's praises, I think Mexico are due far more criticism.
Nadim, what was Seb's reaction as that Messi goal went in?
Oh my goodness gracious me, I was hoping you wouldn't ask that. I think where we're based here, there's a lot of like Mexico support, there's a lot of Argentinian support.
I mean, the ESPN Argentina desk is right there.
Literally right there, and there was so much tension. I felt a bit awkward, to be honest, because it was just very, very silent. And then the TVs have got a bit of a delay on them, so all of a sudden somebody up here basically cursed in Spanish. And it's like, well, is that a good thing or a bad thing? And it turned out it was a goal for Argentina. And I think that sort of shows how stressful it was for them, because they didn't even really celebrate. It was like a release of tension. And what he said could have been said by Seb Salazar as well in the same sort of way in terms of frustration. But it was tough. It was tough watching him. He was kind of hurt, but I think he's probably the best person to explain the emotions that he went through.
You're such a nice guy. You kept doing the, like, are you okay bit? Are you okay bit? And I was having none of it.
A real couple living together.
Nice. As opposed to Burley, who would have gone... talk us through it, Seb.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hugely disappointing day for Mexican soccer. The history against Argentina is clear, right? Knock Mexico out in 2006, 2010. I don't think very many Mexico fans came into this tournament thinking that they could beat Argentina. But after you see, you know, what Saudi Arabia did, and you realize what's at stake, Mexico has a chance, a rare opportunity, a chance nobody saw coming to knock Argentina out. And this is Tata Martino's loss. I mean, Tata Martino was brought to Mexico. He's the highest paid coach in Mexican national team history. He's the sixth highest paid coach at this World Cup. He was brought for the big game. Not to get him qualified, not to get him through the group phase, to, as Mexican fans always say, trascender, to get us to that next level, to that fifth game. And this is the game that you have to kind of get something out of if that's going to be the case. On top of that, it's the perfect matchup for Tata Martino. There is not a national team that he knows better. There is not a superstar that he knows better than Lionel Messi. And the way he set this team up is incredibly conservative. And also, I think we have to point out something we have never really seen under Tata Martino. There's a few examples here and there of them playing with a line of five across the back. But they're in, like, friendly games, and when they did it, it looked horrible. So for him to do that in this game is shocking. And I think the particular decision that I will just never understand, and I know that, yeah, I'm the punter here, and I'll fully admit that. You got a guy like Edson Álvarez. Mexico does not have elite players. Chucky Lozano is maybe the closest thing at Napoli, you know, to being an elite player. Edson Álvarez has been linked to Chelsea, to Manchester United. He's a day-in, day-out starter for Ajax. He is, I think it's not even really a question, he is the highest-performing player in the Mexican pool. I don't care what tactics you do. How do you put out an 11 and not put in your best player at all in this game? I mean, it's unforgivable for me in that. And even if you can find a tactical reason to not put Edson Álvarez in through the first 45 minutes, your plan, you could say, worked. As you guys said, it was a horrible first half. If that's what Tata Martino wanted to reduce Mexico to, that's his call. Mexican fans don't like it. They want to see Mexico. If you're going to lose going head-to-head with Argentina and let the chips fall where they may. But if you're going to go for the 0-0, then at 60 minutes, when it's 0-0 and you've held on, I don't know, why don't you bring in the one holding midfielder who's going to continue to break up plays and maybe keep you in a 0-0. You bring Edson on. What happens? No, Tata Martino doesn't go to his bench first. Scaloni does. He makes his two changes at 63. At 64, the goal falls. And where does it fall? Oh, that's right. It's a pass right across the back line of Mexico's four defenders. And who would be there? That's right, the defensive midfielder. Edson Álvarez would have been there. Instead, Hachach is 10 yards behind. Nobody's around Lionel Messi. You can't give any player at the World Cup that much time. You definitely can't give Lionel Messi that kind of time. So for me, it's a tactical failure, and it's just more frustration for Mexican fans under Tata Martino.
Well, that brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much.
The end of Mexico's tournament, maybe, but not the show.
Is it just, look, none of those Mexican players get in the Argentina squad, do they? So isn't that just... Isn't it just life? You just don't have the good enough players?
None of the Saudi Arabian players got into the Argentina squad either.
Okay.
So, I understand Sebastian's frustrations, in all honesty. Especially second game of the tournament, after you see what Saudi Arabia do to Argentina. And to Seb's point, it seems as though Tata Martino said... Renat, I appreciate what you did with Saudi Arabia. I appreciate that you pressed Argentina really high up, frustrated them and got your just rewards. But watch this. I'm going to play five at the back and sit off. This is how you beat Argentina. It was the most bemusing tactical decision I'd seen at this level of the game in quite some time. You want to sum this game up, you need no more than 30 seconds, and I'm being generous.
I think Seb maybe needs a bit more.
Mexico launched the ball down the right channel to Lozano. There is no other green shoot within 30 yards of Lozano. All he can do is try to play for a corner. And he puts it out to play. It goes for a goal kick. Ball's kicked long. Messi, the whole complaint is Messi just walks around when things aren't going his way, but he just picks up a little space in between that rather ridiculous back five and the midfield, and he's just walking. And Hector Herrera doesn't seem to mind that. He gets drawn to the ball, and Messi, doing exactly as it says on the tin, as he's always done, just picks the ball up in acres of space. This should have come as a surprise to no one. And then you allow Messi that kind of space, and that's what you get. And that was that game summed up in 30 seconds.
The biggest surprise for me, in the context of what Mexico was doing, you also had to add that the fact that Argentina were not playing well. Argentina were having difficulties themselves connecting passes. I didn't quite understand what the role of Guido Rodriguez was in the middle of midfield for Argentina. They have the outside backs pushed up, then the center backs would split or would spread, and then Guido Rodriguez would drop in between the two center backs, leaving Rodrigo De Paul to be the only outlet to play into the midfield for him to find outlet somewhere else and transition the team forward. Well, that was playing into the hands of Mexico, who were now pressing the ball, who was having an awful time holding on to the ball. He loses the ball in bad areas. Now is the time for Mexico to then go on the counter. No, only two players. So you're not even taking advantage of some of the decision-making from Scaloni if you're Tata Martino, because you're not willing to take the chance to get forward and actually say to yourself, you know what? We have a chance here. This team is not playing well. This is the team under pressure. They are the ones having a difficult time. There's an opportunity for us to go win this game. Even worse, they go down 1-0. Because you've had that defensive posture, and that has been the mindset, you know how difficult it is to then turn around and say, hey guys, now we got to go over there and attack. Now we got to go find a goal. No, the whole time we've been here, this is what we've been working on. This is what is supposed to be the game plan. And now you're asking us, no, change of plans. We're going to go attack. It was never going to happen, and they just simply did not have the tools out on the field, nor the execution or whatever the game plan was, to be able to beat a team like Argentina.
We heard Argentina in the dressing room celebrating way after the final whistle, after all the criticism they received after Saudi Arabia. This was just about getting the result, wasn't it? And it's a massive kind of sigh of relief for them. Is this now a catalyst for them to move forward? Did you see enough in that second half to think this team can go and compete properly?
I still have to wait. I know Lionel Messi said that after the game in the press conference, that the second half was the real beginning for us in our World Cup. So hopefully it's, we say yes, hopefully it's they restarted and they're going to show a different kind of football. But I still have doubts about that. When I saw the first half, what they had to offer, when I saw the game against Saudi Arabia, it's to be confirmed, you know. Not only 45 minutes would be enough, or 30 minutes even, is enough for me to show that Argentina is back to its best. No, especially against a Mexican team who showed nothing. So I want to see, not maybe the next game, but I guess in the last 16, how they can perform, and or if we back to the 2018 World Cup where they've been awful.
I think most people, Nadim, have them making a run to the semi-finals where they'd lose against Brazil. Is this team capable of doing that, or even indeed making it all the way?
I think that is a good question. I agree with Frank. They've not really shown an incredible amount to this point, but the fact is they're still in with a chance. I think they go into that last game and you do fancy them to be able to get a result. So ultimately, they'll be in the knockout round. And even though, you know, you're looking at them thinking they're not at their best, then it's just about matchups and just moments. And it always helps to have somebody like Lionel Messi on your side, because at the end of the day, you know, he's still one of the best players in the world at this moment in time. And the support's definitely going to be there, as we can see from, you know, the noise in the stands. Like, that game is so significant. And if they can get into those knockout rounds and have that passion behind them, they'll be a very tough side for people to come up against. And they're not necessarily going to be the protagonist within this particular story, whoever they're playing against. But they'll also be a very, very dangerous side. It seems that if they are to win it, they're not going to blow teams away. But at times, you look at them and think, well, maybe they do have enough to be able to just get across the line on a game-to-game basis. And, you know, that's ultimately all they need to be in with a chance. So I see them still continuing to go quite far in this, but, you know, they do need to clean things up a little bit. But the fact is, this was a must-win game for them today, and they did that. So in theory, they can give themselves a pat on the back.
Famously, Shaq, you changed your picks straight after the Saudi Arabia defeat.
Yeah.
You picked Argentina, Brazil. Would you like to now go back to the original pick?
No, I don't. It's as important a victory as it was for Argentina, and as stress-relieving as it may have been, it came against, I think, the worst tactical decision, as I say, we've seen at this competition, against a team that offered absolutely nothing. My concern for Argentina after the Saudi Arabia game remains that when they're under pressure, when they're asked to adjust, I'm not sure that this Argentina team, and dare I say the Argentina coach, have what it needs.
A quick word on Enzo Fernandez. Why is he not starting, Ali? What a finish.
Well, he's going to be starting now.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
And part of the issues that they had against Saudi Arabia, they had again today against Mexico, is that they're not getting enough from players out of the midfield. They're not getting runs out of the midfield. Enzo Fernandez can give you that. And in a moment in which it seemed like Argentina was just trying to hang on to the 1-0, Lionel Messi lays the ball off to Enzo Fernandez, and Enzo Fernandez says, you know what? I'm going to do me here. You know, hey, dip of the shoulder, little step over action. I'm going to take the shot and go. Nobody else seems to be willing to do this, so I'm going to do it. He took control of the situation. He took the responsibility on, scores a goal, and now it's a hero. He'll be on the starting lineup next game.
He most certainly will. That game, of course, is against Poland. The final round of matches will be played with it all to play for after Poland beat Saudi Arabia by 2-0. Really good game. It's thoroughly entertaining. Saudi Arabia will be ruining some of those missed chances, including, of course, the penalty. We saw Zielinski score just before the break. But, Jan, it's all about your boy, Robert Lewandowski, getting his first ever goal in a World Cup.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you saw the relief after he scored that goal. He equaled Pelé today with 77 goals for his country, which is an amazing number. But his first game at the World Cup, and you could see it in a game, he was not 100% confident. He got deeper and deeper, playing more in a number 10 role for Poland. But then again, the way he chipped over the goalkeeper and then maybe turn around, make an assist for Zielinski when he made that 1-0, that was some artistry from him. And then, of course, the United Kingdom of Saudi Arabia thought they will give him the goal. So they gave him the goal there at the end, and he was scoring. And he said after the game as well that it's all about the team, but I have to admit, I was thinking a lot of that. And sometimes we forget that Lewandowski is also a kid, a bit insecure when you don't score that first goal. And A goal getter will always think of that. If you don't get a goal, I will probably never get it. So I think that is a kickstart to his World Cup career. And that Poland-Argentina game, that Lewandowski against Messi game is going to be a very, very interesting game. And I do think that Argentina can do it, because if you see their Polish defense, oh, wow, there is a guy at the back who looks bigger than me. And things like that, they will get chances, Argentina. But Lewandowski sure got his self-confidence now back.
Let's take a look then how the group stands going into the final round of matches. Remember, it will be Poland against Argentina, Saudi Arabia against Mexico. Seb, let's start with you. How do you feel going into this final round from a Mexican perspective? Your body
kind of feels like the tournament's over. I mean,
protection position.
I mean, Mexico has to beat Saudi Arabia and hope for help. Now, that help is probably likely to come, right? You figure Argentina could beat Poland. Fine, maybe they could beat them by multiple goals. But even if you win and you get that help, it still comes down to goal difference. Now, again, I will admit, of everybody on the show, I know the least about the game, but correct me if I'm wrong.
No.
To win, you must score, correct?
Allegedly.
You must score.
Sometimes.
Mexico is incapable of scoring, and I very much appreciate what Ale and Shaka were talking about. Today, the setup was very negative, right? We only had those two guys up top for Mexico. And I think the plan, you could even say from Tata, worked in that first half. There was a couple turnovers. Maybe that was Argentina's nerves or lower level than we expected. Alexis Vega gets on the ball. It's 1-on-3. 30 yards away is Chucky Lozano's 1-on-2. So it's 2-on-5 against already players that are better than you. You're never going to score there. But even when Mexico is Tata Martino's puffing his chest out, when they're playing El Salvador and he's putting out the most attacking talent that he possibly can, Mexico's still not scoring goals. And the problem isn't that Mexico is creating chances and not finishing them, which is usually the problem for Mexico. Mexico is not creating chances at all. So if now it is, and Dan, I'm glad we could clear this up. Now this is a must-win
right
for Mexico. You have to score, and I have no faith, Dan, that this team is capable of scoring, and certainly not scoring enough to overturn any type of goal difference.
Nader, maybe slightly in a more briefer tone, who would you say is going through in this group?
I'm obviously leading Argentina, and after that, you know, I don't really know, but I just
Seb's
not
going to
pick up on Manchester. Seb's in a bad place, as I say. It's not over yet, Seb. It's not over yet. But it's nice to see you.
He's
passionate. This is great. This is great. Yeah, you're going to back Argentina. Maybe they've got some momentum there, but we'll see. There's nothing more for me to say. This isn't my special subject. Please, back to the studio. Back to you guys.
Can we agree that for me, right now, the best team of the four is Saudi Arabia?
Mm-hmm.
The way they play, the pace that they put into the game, showed me that they are the best.
They beat Mexico, they're good.
Oh, yeah. And I think they will, according to what we saw.
Yeah.
Of course, they can be clumsy in the last third. They can make mistakes like they did in the second one. But the will of what they put into the game should be enough to win against Mexico, according to what we saw. And maybe we're going to talk about maybe the penalty. That was funny. But maybe we don't have the time.
No, we don't have time for that, Frank.
Yeah, yeah. That's sad because, you know, I want to talk about, whatever.
Right, we don't.
No, whatever. Go on.
So
I like the fact that when I hear people on TV saying, it's a contact.
See, you're talking about it when you're not supposed to be talking about it.
Yeah. Okay.
So Argentina and Saudi Arabia to go through?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Argentina and Saudi Arabia. And the most important job that now Hervé Renard has in front of him, while we have been complimentary his work so far, now is about convincing his players that, guess what? It's not over because you lost, right? Turn the page, leave this game behind you, and know that you were the better team against Poland, that you should have won that game. So go on, because you're better than Mexico. You can beat Mexico.
Did my wife message you to ask for his autograph?
Who? What?
What?
Whose
autograph?
I go for Argentina and Saudi Arabia, Dan.
Yes.
I'm trying to change the subject quickly as we can.
Yeah.
That is it. We will. Jan. Sorry, Jan as well.
Well. I will see a draw between Poland and Argentina. Saudi Arabia will beat Mexico, and Argentina is out, and Poland and Saudi Arabia will go through.
Oh, Lewandowski.
He hates Messi.
Don't say that, Frank.
He loves Lewandowski, doesn't he?
Elon Musk will be calling me.
Okay. Let's move on from that.
Who's autograph?
Nathan and Seb, thank you very much.
Bye, Seb.
You're on camera, guys. Careful. Football Americans, if you want to see Seb cry some more, he's joined by Herc. You can check that out now. Every single day on ESPN Plus.
He's turned the page.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Well, ESPN FC on ESPN Plus is presented by the all-new Honda CR-V Hybrid as we focus on the defending champions, France beating Denmark by 2-1. Well, Mbappe beating Denmark by 2-1. Sensational performance. Very, very good, Frank.
Yeah, very good. And overall, I love the way that French team plays, you know, the energy, the spirit that they put in or put on. And it's true that when you have somebody who can make that difference, it's a real plus. And but you cannot avoid the other players because the work of... I like what Rabiot does,
yeah.
You know, since the beginning of the World Cup, what he brings offensively. Yeah, he can make mistakes, but who doesn't? But I like the all... spirit of that team, the way they play and the way they organize themselves. It wasn't easy today, and when it scored the goal, you say, okay, it's done. The Danes, you know, came back and worked out, so they showed some personalities. But overall, you always have something great. Griezmann, what a cross, what a very precise cross to Mbappe. Mbappe is he's Mbappe. He's doing Mbappe. He scored, I think, 14 goals for the national team in 12 games, so that's amazing.
Is he the best player at the tournament? Is it even a debate at the moment? Like, obviously, we spent a lot of time about Messi. But yeah, all his attributes, everything he's got going for him, he just seems head and shoulders about what we've seen.
I think there are a couple of the Brazilians that would certainly get in the conversation. But after two games of the tournament, it's hard to see past Mbappe, in all honesty. And given how good he's been, given how good France have been, so far, yes. But... again, there are Richarlison, Neymar, but they've only had that one game themselves.
I just want to say that evident. Just Fontaine scored 13 goals in 6 games in the same World Cup.
Wow.
It was in 58 when they reached the semi-final.
Wow. God. Yeah. You must have been, 25 then? let's welcome in, shall we?
Already.
Julien Laurent, who was at the game. Look at him, happy.
Jules, don't do that. Play the humble French guy.
We
know how to do.
We have many examples of that.
Jules, did you kick Seb when he was down, walking past?
I just asked for the score. I didn't know the Mexico score. I just asked and I saw his face and I was like, okay, don't tell me I know.
Jules, you're looking good, mate. Not you, the game, the match, the team.
Yeah, I have to say, tonight was very good against a much better team than Australia. I think we were right not to take too much away from the Australia game because of how bad they are, and they were. But Denmark is a much better team, and the way the French controlled the game for most of it, yeah, there was... bit of time in the second half where we conceded a goal and then there was a couple of really good chances, the Lindstrom one especially for Denmark, but overall it was very much a complete performance. We should have scored more goals. We created a lot. I agree with Frankie, Griezmann in midfield with Rabiot and Tchouaméni, this is working really well for now. It might not work as well against tougher opponents, but for now it's looking very good. And then when you've got Kylian in this kind of form, he's almost unstoppable, so it was very, very positive. Yeah,
he was really good today, again.
Yes, he was. And players around him sort of have to change the way they play because of the speed with which Kylian Mbappe plays himself. There was a sequence around the 56th minute where he turns the Danish defender, right? Now he's going with momentum with the defender with the spacing behind Giroud. For all the years that he's playing center forward, if this defender steps to Mbappe, now I'm running in behind, diagonal move, and he's playing me in behind. Well, not quite, because if you are anybody playing alongside Mbappe, and he's going at a defender with that speed, with that sort of momentum, clear out.
Yeah.
Get out of the way. Mm-hmm. And let him take on defenders. By the moment that Giroud tried to make the run in behind, he brought another defender into the play, and Mbappe takes a shot on goal, gets deflected for a corner kick. But it was just a reminder of, when this guy is playing at full speed, with this sort of power, he's unstoppable. The foul in the first half where...
Christensen got the yellow card?
Get the yellow card. The momentum that Kylian Mbappe was carrying, nobody was catching him. Now, I understand that in the loss of the game, it is a yellow card because there were two defenders around. Those two defenders were there, and that was it.
Yeah.
There were going to be a flash in the screen, and that's it, because Mbappe was going, and there was no chance that they were going to be able to catch him. He right now is playing at a different level, and it's noticeable, and it's scary to watch. But from a French perspective, it's beautiful to watch.
From a football perspective, it's thoroughly entertaining to watch as well.
It is, because everything works, you know, perfectly right now. And the sequence that you're talking about, Christensen, I say, why the players putting the balls, you know, behind where Mbappe, nobody thinks he can get the ball because he's already, you know, Christensen is like 2 yards in front of it. And it's like you have 4 yards to get the ball. And suddenly you see, like, you know, fourth gear, and then we go for it. A second gear, we go for it. And that's, you say, well, that guy, I played against very fast players. Thierry Henry, for example.
Yes.
And Nicolas Anelka, so many others. But that guy... how many engines did he put, you know, behind? And that's
it's almost
crazy.
Like Brazilian Ronaldo S when he was.
Oh yeah, like, yeah, that's sort of something like that. Yeah. And
did you ever play against him?
only once, but I don't remember what happened. The first half when he got something that he got on the left side and gets inside with his right foot and suddenly pretend to shoot and comes back, you know, and you say, well, you know, it hurts. It must hurt the defender's back, you know, at some point. Yeah. The player is exceptional when he plays like that.
Yeah. Julian.
The game changer as well is Theo Hernandez. Because before, when Lucas Hernandez was playing behind Kylian, everybody knew that he was never going to go forward. This was not his game. He's a centre-back. Now with Theo Hernandez, the problem for opposition is that not only they've got Kylian on the left-hand side, they've got one of the best left-back/wing-back suddenly going forwards in the game in Europe. So now suddenly you face the pace of Kylian, the pace of Theo, and you're 2v1, 2v2, and then as we saw in the first goal, if one overlaps and he gives him into 1-2, it's very simple on paper, and if you look at it, it looks easy. But it messes up with your head if you're the defenders because you don't know where to go, when to step, when to drop. And I think for me, the game changer, which will make Kylian even better and more efficient in this team, is the fact that Theo would now start just behind him as a left-back.
Elsewhere, this group is open, isn't it? With Australia beating Tunisia by 1-0. That goal from Duke in the 23rd minute proving to be the difference between the two sides. Jules, obviously you saw this tie. Australia deserve it?
I thought they played well. They were exactly what you expected from them in terms of being solid and they made the most of the chance that they had, to be honest. But I thought it was a bit harsh on Tunisia. I don't understand why Kadri, the head coach, doesn't play Wahbi Kadri more, because he is their best player and yet he only has crumbs to play this in this competition, which is very hard to understand because they had enough chances. They did some really good stuff with the ball and their XG is almost one. And yet there was no one there to put the ball in the net, which I think Kadri could do that. So I fully expect Wahbi Kadri to start the last game, which, as you said, they can still qualify. But I think he should have been in that game a bit more and maybe they would have got something out of it.
Shaka, you're up early to watch this one?
Yeah, listen, I thought Tunisia may feel a little bit hard done by. I thought Tunisia were very good against Denmark. Maybe Denmark were average, but I give Tunisia more credit for that. And then given the result against France, I really wanted to see how Australia would respond. And in truth, Australia's size and physicality was different between the two in Duke's goal. But more to the point, I thought Matt Ryan was exceptional. I would as a goalkeeper. But Harry Suter, the right-sided centre-back, I thought, without question, was the standout player for Australia. And just some of his interceptions, some of his blocks was worthy of the 3 points for Australia.
Let's take a look then how the group sat. France, you're fine.
You're fine. That's why when you say it's open, it's not open because there is only one spot.
Yes, it was open for the other ones.
Thank you. Okay, all right.
Thanks.
All right.
Australia then to take on Denmark, France against Tunisia. Who's going through, Ali?
It's going to be what we expected, France and Denmark.
Oh, God, you picked Denmark to win the World Cup.
I want them to be in the shade, you know, out of radars. You
okay,
know?
Well,
and then they're
going to come. They're not even in the radar now.
They were lost in Bermuda somewhere, you know, right now. But they're going to show up. They're going to find them back.
Yes.
Hopefully, we're going to find the team that beat France, you know, during the qualification.
Right.
But it's true that the two games is not enough. You want to go far, it's not enough. You have to do better.
Yes.
Well, I know. Maybe I put the curse on them.
But you, do you
maybe
think
tactically,
can
well
they
done.
Beat Australia?
Excuse me?
Can they beat Australia?
They have to.
Yes, I know that, but can they?
Of course they can. Of course they can, right. And they will.
Okay, France and Denmark, yeah. I think.
France and Denmark.
Jules?
Yeah, same, France and Denmark.
All right, Jules.
Boring, Jules.
Speaking of boring, the latest edition of the Gambit.
Everybody gave a two-word answer. I'm giving up.
Stop copying people in your life.
Please, you want to check that out over on the website. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
We saw today the latest inductees into the US National Soccer Hall of Fame. Landon Donovan, DeMarcus Beasley and Lauren Cheney Holiday all inducted for 2023. Speaking for the US, of course, yesterday they played out that 0-0 draw against England. So it is a must-win tie going into their clash against Iran. And it's now time for our camp report brought to you by Modelo.
The U.S. national team delivered a steady and stout performance against England on Friday night, and the scoreless draw has set up a situation that is very easy to define. The U.S. plays Iran on Tuesday in their final group stage game, and if they win, they move on to the knockout rounds. A draw or a loss, though, sends them home.
We know that they're going to have, you know, some strength, some power, some energy coming into this game because they know also that if they get a result that they're in, so most likely. So for us, we need to control what we can control, but we're going to be ultra aggressive to go out there and play our game.
You guys have talked for a long time about wanting to change the perception of soccer in America. Mm-hmm. What would a win in a game like this one mean?
It would show that we're able to navigate through a tournament setting in the right way. You know, it would show our progression over the past couple of years and how far we've come. I think, you know, a game like tonight has set the tone to show that, you know, we can stand with some of the highest quality opponents in the world, and now we have to continue to do that consistently.
Two main questions hanging over the U.S. group as they head into that match against Iran, and the first has to do with scoring. One goal through 180 minutes at this World Cup, and they know they're going to have to score if they want to go through, which brings into focus the situation with Gio Reyna. Many fans following this U.S. team have wanted to see Reyna much more than he's been on the field, only 11 minutes of action through two games. There was some concern about a health situation, whether he was injured, but everybody that I've spoken spoken to says that there is no health issue here. Reyna's lack of playing time is down to a coach's decision, and so it remains to be seen whether Greg Berhalter will give him the start against Iran on Tuesday. The second question is how this young U.S. group will handle the pressure of the moment. Obviously, a winner-go-home game comes with some incredible stakes, but the U.S. will also have the crowd against it. That's a result of the first World Cup to be held in the Arab world. Teams like Morocco, Tunisia, and yes, Iran have had incredible support from fans here, and there's no doubt that on Tuesday night, the U.S. will be facing a team that's favored by most of the crowd. In Doha, Sam Borden, ESPN.
Let's take a look at the English perspective, shall we? Fright night, yawn in the USA, reality check, stars and gripes, football nil, soccer nil, with just some of the headlines after that goalless draw. Guys, none of you were with us yesterday. It'd be good to get your take. Frank, first off.
Well, I was disappointed. I was disappointed by the English team. We said before the game that if England put everything into the game, they're going to win it. But they did everything they shouldn't have done, you know, and to allow United States to have some hopes, and it's what happened. They didn't play the game. I think Southgate has to be blamed because of the choices that he made, that we didn't see Foden. We should have seen Foden. That's the spirit that they had in the first game. They lost it during that game and against the United States.
I thought it was as abject a display as you could expect from England. I thought US were by far the better of the two teams. Maybe had they had an out-and-out goal scorer, somebody anywhere near the quality of a Harry Kane, this would be a pretty one-sided scoreline, in all honesty. And if you're Gareth Southgate, I'm not sure how you correct that, because even as I think back to yesterday's game, and I'm trying to think of the England starting 11, I'm trying to think of anybody who contributed. The only name that comes to mind is Harry Maguire.
Mm-hmm.
And that maybe that silence speaks volumes as to exactly how poor England were. Had you right, I don't think for the US imposed himself on the game. So it's a difficult one to judge from an England perspective as to how you go from being so good against Iran to being so abjectly average against the US. From the US perspective, how do you build on that momentum? But the question for Berhalter is, where do the goals come from? And unless a Christian Pulisic or Gio Reyna steps up, I'm not sure that he has the answers either.
Where do they come from?
I don't think they have those answers, because if those answers were straightforward, we would have been seeing them being displayed out on the field. The truth of the matter is that coming into the World Cup, we were thinking, okay, what would be ideal for the United States in terms of their offensive setup? That you would have Christian Pulisic, and then that you would have Gio Reyna opposite of him. Because Gio Reyna has that personality of taking players on, has the personality of receiving the ball in tight areas, because he likes that spotlight. We have seen that from him time and time again. And then that would allow the freedom of Christian Pulisic to then drive at defenders. That's what you would have thought ideally the United States would be able to do. And yet, somehow, in games that are calling for that sort of player, Berhalter says, now, coach's decision, one of our most talented players in the attack, yeah, you just sit on the bench. I don't get it. I don't understand it. And to be quite honest with you, one of the things I was most disappointed about the game yesterday, from both perspectives, was at the end of the match, the United States has a free kick to swing the ball in, an opportunity mm-hmm. to swing the ball in.
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
Greg Berhalter is telling him, hey, it's almost over, relax, no problem. So I'm thinking, okay, they're taking their time because they're going to swing this ball in. It's going to be a chance. Historically, we have thought of the United States as a team that dominates set pieces, mm-hmm. or at the very least, that's how they get their goals. What do they do? We're going to play the ball to the corner. What?
Oh.
Are you kidding me? We're going to play the ball in the corner?
You need those notes later.
Huh? Sorry, Dan, I carried away.
Let's just take a look at the group, because I want to ask you who's going through.
England and United States. I go for that.
What about the throwing of the papers? There's no one's going to score the goals.
Well, you know, you can correct some stuff, you know, and get up and get the sheets back, and that everything's going to be all right.
Get my chance. Did I miss another one?
Well, he wanted to make a point, and we understand the frustration of Ali, but I think United States will correct that and go through.
The challenge for the United States is that in this game against Iran, they're going to have the responsibility of creating the chances. Right. They're going to have the responsibility of taking the game to Iran. And that's when I think the United States struggles the most. And yet, USA, baby. I'm riding USA.
Wow.
England, United States to go through. I'm not sure that I
what
quite believe in.
You threw the papers and
Before this tournament started, I picked England and Iran to go through. I'm only allowed to change my mind once every 2 days.
All right.
So okay. Is that a personal rule?
I've got to stick with Iran. But to that point, I think Iran have momentum. In a game that the U.S. are left wondering why we didn't get more out of it, how could we have gotten more out of it? And that lack of belief that Ali just pointed out down to the end, contrasts that with an Iranian team who dominate 90 minutes, score two very late goals. Given everything around Iran, given the fact that this tournament is in the Middle East, all that they're dealing with politically, that momentum, I think, is telling. That momentum gets them over the line.
Is Phil Foden okay?
He's well rested.
He's all right.
Anyway, Brazil are good. They topped their group, of course, after that impressive start to their campaign. Next up for them is Switzerland on Monday. Neymar will definitely not feature in that game and probably not the final match of the group stages. Why are you making a noise, Frank?
No, because I feel sorry for him.
Right.
Yeah. But he's okay.
Well, it doesn't look okay. His ankle looks
fine. Well, he's swollen, but if he hasn't got anything broken inside,
right,
he's going to be all right.
Have you had something similar to this?
I had this, how do you say?
Twisted. Yes.
Twice, you know, outside and inside same time. And I spent like every day 4 hours in the ice.
Okay.
To work on the ankle.
Right.
And I played like 5 days after.
Five days?
Yeah. And we lost 8-0.
Good decision.
And I got a red card in after five. I said, well, I worked like crazy to come back. Nobody wants to run. So I kicked Abedi Pelé. I used brother, father.
Right.
Red card, bye-bye.
Beautiful.
No, but he can play. Of course, he's not going to feel free, you know. Yeah. But he can play if he thinks it's important for him and if the coach thinks it's important for Brazil.
Twisted ankle? You been there?
Yeah, been there, and it depends on how the grade of that twist. And sometimes these things can take a while. It can take a couple of weeks. It can take up a month or so. It depends on what the damage is. I don't think, even if he comes back in 5-10 days or so, I don't think he's going to be close to his best. And I don't know, with a guy that has had a history of injuries with his foot, with his ankle, whether he's, and a guy who depends on that ability to cut back and forth, whether it's ideal for him. Certainly not the case. And if you're Brazil, you play by ear. You don't need to have him on the field. You keep icing him. Ice that guy. Work on that ankle.
Let this
other guys take over. And then he'll be well-rested and ready to go when it matters the most.
The contention boots that he has on the first picture,
yes,
I have them at home. They're absolutely fantastic.
Why do you have them at home?
Because we're seeing that it's very healthy for everybody. Everybody should have that.
Really?
Because it brings your blood out and you recover better and avoids, you know, problems when you get older. So
recover from what? What are you trying to recover from?
What are you doing?
From life. From spending too many times at that house, you know, you put the contention boots.
Sticks it on his head. There are small stories from my house on the latest edition of Extra Time, which, as always, you can check out on our YouTube channel.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network. all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Well, ESPN FC on ESPN Plus is presented by the all-new Honda CR-V Hybrid as we focus on, what's tomorrow, Sunday?
Yeah,
Sunday?
All day.
Yeah, Sunday. Sunday's game, Spain taking on Germany, of course, the eye-catching tie, the final one of the four. As we welcome back Jan-Arge Fjortoff with us to give us a German taste going into this game. Who's got the blame, Jan, mostly, after that defeat against Japan?
Wow. In Germany, Dan, everything is going on now. It's the attackers against the defenders. It's the Bayern block against the Dortmund block. It's the media against the team. Now Hansi Flick is too nice again. He took Goretzka in to please him because of Gundogan started. It's all going on now. They're even discussing Kimmich. Why does he only play the long ball? Remember Kimmich? He was the answer to all prayers of all German fans. It's panic in Germany now. They've already started to analyze what's going to happen on Monday when they're out of the World Cup.
Wow.
Then Bierhoff got to go. Flick got to go. Müller will resign. So it's panicking. Germany is so panicking. You can't believe it. And I'm worried for the Germans that when they've done their analysis after the game, it's all about that old, well, we could have scored three or four. Yeah. I've been in different teams when you had managers, when you lost 3-0, they would say, yeah, but we had four chances, so we should have another striker. Then we would win 4-3. I think the Germans are there at the moment. The fact is, they are unbelievable useless in the back. One long ball to Schlotterbeck and Japan scores. Why is Schlotterbeck playing? Oh, because all Germans want a young defender. That is all. Süle on the right back. Oh, my God. Yeah. It's not possible to have a right back like Süle, is it? And Rüdiger running around with his funny dance moves and laughing around at 1-0. But the football god, he never forgets. Oh. And the Germans should watch out because Spain could knock them out of the World Cup. And I think this World Cup is all about passion, Dan. It's all about passion. The team that shows passion, except Canada, they had passion against Belgium and didn't get their reward. Mm. But the most of the teams who've shown passion will go through. That is bad news for Germany because they were running around like people on sleeping pills in that first game.
Let's take a look then at everybody's prediction. Frank, you're the only one going for Germany. Mm. What have you seen to make you think that?
Well, because of a reaction, because as...
Is this just you not being boring? Like,
no, it's just because...
Denmark all
no,
over
no, 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 no. I think maybe Spain will start the game, you know, maybe too confident because of what they did in the first game. And Germany, they have to react. And I believe that you cannot consider Germany as a big team. And the embarrassment of the first game should make them reacting and win out of... against Spain. So.
Meanwhile, let's talk about the aforementioned Canada. They're, of course, in action against Croatia.
Yes.
Who would have thought Croatia and Canada would turn into a massive grudge match? But it has.
Brilliant.
And this is where it has all started. Of course, after the game, Hardman said, look, we're going to go and we're going to...
What are you going to do?
We're going to
play. Something like that.
There's an F word involved. Croatia. Croatia haven't reacted very well to this. It's cold
what
in Canada. This is what they have. Obviously.
Coach's got to work out, man.
Hitting back.
Yeah, everywhere.
And then Toronto hit back. We need more of this in life. This is fantastic. Exactly.
Brilliant.
What you want.
I love that one. Well, go on, Toronto Sun.
All right. HR get involved. It's a mixed bag. Myself and Ali are going for a Croatia win. Frank is going with Canada. Yeah. Meanwhile, Shaka and Jan believe it will be a tie. We'll, of course, be looking back at that game on the next edition of the show. We'll be back live with you, 6 p.m. Eastern, here on Plus.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And that is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Be sure to stay tuned as Extra Time is next. This is FC Extra Time, brought to you by Globant. Welcome into the studio. Shaka forgot to put his tooth in again.
Oh, no. It's all right. From this far side.
Yeah, it's all
You're
right.
The only one who can look.
Frank,
oh, I saw it.
Frank is here. Frank brought some new socks today.
Very excited. Nice. I almost didn't show up. You know, I feel so comfortable. You know, yeah. I almost fell asleep.
Oh. I know. So did we when you were telling us the story about your socks. Ali is here as well. We welcome in Jan Agerfjord. Jan, where are you today?
I am in Salzburg, Dan, and I'm glad you call me Jan now after you call me Frank.
Yes, I know.
On the Twitter.
I apologize.
Thank you. I love the name and I love the title, the world champion, but thank you for calling me Jan.
Our reach is Jan because he lives in Salzburg, in Germany as well, in Norway,
yes.
in London.
Yes.
Our reach is the guy, you know, because I
he has homes in all those places.
Lots of houses.
Yeah, you should see his sock collection.
Yeah.
All very soft.
Do you have also the contention boots we go with?
Yeah. Oh, yes, the Neymar wears for the ankle.
Yeah.
You were saying that you have at home.
Yeah, exactly.
First, quite a lot of people have tweeted this to us. So, yeah. Denmark, Frank.
Yeah. You know, I'm happy because my national team won.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm happy to be wrong if France goes far, you know, that's not a problem. But again, it makes, you know, for me, sense to have thought that Denmark could go far and can still go far because I think they're going to go through.
Would you like to change your mind?
No, not yet.
It's okay, you know. It's okay if you change your mind, Frank.
But
nobody minds.
Yeah.
No. Nobody minds.
No. I'm good. And I really hope that France is going to go far and even win because that's going to be okay. But Denmark, you know, they beat again twice France within
the qualification. They didn't beat them today, did they? So that's completely irrelevant.
Yeah, but how do you think about your prediction, you know, if you don't consider what happened in the recent past?
Are you just stubborn? Is that it? Uh-huh. Are you just stubborn?
I'm not stubborn, but I'm not changing my mind after less than 24 hours.
The problem with our neighbor Denmark is that they don't have strikers. They had 7 strikers who have scored 16 goals together.
They would have had Jan Fjørtoft would have been different.
Yeah.
When he plays against Norway.
Yeah. Yeah, but he could change, you know.
He's got a house in Norway. Yeah. He's got a house in Denmark. He's got a house in Denmark.
Timothy Weah is from Liberia and he plays for the US in the United States. So Jan Fjørtoft can go and play for Denmark.
Right, we're not going down that road.
Right.
Speaking of strikers, Jan, most teams in the World Cup seem to be missing the killer number 9 to finish chances. Yeah. Can we say that this is the generation that is starved of goal scoring strikers?
Ali Moreno.
But I think it's a very vital point of this World Cup. You see a lot of teams, like especially Germany, they suffer from it. They don't have a striker, a number 9 who can get them the goals. Denmark, the same. And then you see, we said it the same against Spain, and they scored 7. So they are the exception to the rule. But I think that it just shows you that what unbelievable that a football nation like Germany, they haven't managed to create a proper number 9 in Miroslav Klose, which is unbelievable. So I think hopefully that number 9, when you see the great teams, you see Giroud, for me, coming in, doing the stuff that he's doing, how important he is. And Mbappé is not a number 9, but the typical number 9, thank God he's back in business.
I love a Jan, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can I just say that the striker position as a whole has changed. Has changed over the last decade or so, where the playing with your back to goal, the hold-up play, all those things seem to be overlooked. And those are the sort of things that a guy like Olivier Giroud is doing. And that puts you in a position where You hold the play up. You lay it off to the guys that know what to do with it in the final third. You get yourself into a scoring position and wait for the service to come in. Those guys are no longer around with the same sort of frequency that we saw in the past. Now you have a lot of guys that, oh, let's step over here, skip over there. I'm going to float to the outside. I'm going to float over here. I'm going to play underneath. But the inside the 18-yard box sort of striker, those guys simply don't seem to exist nearly as much as they did before.
Even Eric Kane, no?
He comes great back. Defensive midfielder yesterday.
Yeah, well, that's fantastic. Yeah. No, but tactically, it was well done. You know,
brilliant.
But even Lautaro Martinez, do we consider him as a striker? I think he moves around as well. I mean, that's, as you said, the position completely changed.
And go on, Jan.
Yeah, but I just think Al has right. But still, I think that number nine that keep the ball up, there were some of us, I was one of those as well, just keep the ball, wait for the midfielders to get in there. But I think that the new number nine, they are doing a lot of stuff. You saw Robert Lewandowski today going down, being a midfielder and all that kind of stuff. So they got more skill. But there was a time when the modern game shouldn't have that number nine. That was Pep Guardiola. But even Pep Guardiola has changed his mind now. First he wanted Kane, couldn't get him. Now he got Haaland. So I think in the modern game, you will have that number nine, keeping the ball up as one of many skills that number nine will have.
Who had 7 minutes for Jan to bring up Haaland?
I did.
The over or under?
Ali. Oh, you're funny.
Unbelievable.
He's an unbelievable player.
Ali, surely Dybala deserves a chance in this Argentina team, especially how poor the pool was this evening. Why doesn't Scaloni start?
Well, that's not like for like. It's a different type of player. Now, Rodrigo Paul had a really tough match against Mexico. And I mean, in possession of the ball, he was awful. And I'm being kind here. But he gives you a lot of work and a lot of sacrifice and covers spaces and goes and defends, and he's always on a sliding challenge and brings the intensity to the team. Dybala's not doing any of those things. Dybala's is a player who would be further up the field. And this is not like for like.
Jan, in the battle of baby goats between Mbappe and Haaland, how important will be their international pedigree?
I think very important because Mbappé now is a world champion. He is playing on international stage. So I would say that he is ahead of Haaland now, absolutely. But what is great about these two good players, and I've said that before, and you saw that with Mbappé today as well, you think he's not a human being. You think he's a superhero in a cartoon. I mean, the way he plays football is so enjoyment. And then the other guy, which name I can't tell now because you will start laughing, that's the other guy who plays... that other guy who plays for Manchester City, who is a Norwegian, a son of a former Premier League player, he is a cartoon as well. So I think that will always have Mbappé ahead because, unfortunately, I can't see Norway qualifying for a championship for some time because we don't have the number of players needed to get there.
I was talking about Timothy Weah, his father, not being involved in the World Cup because of Liberia, showed his strengths through European campaigns and everything. So it's possible to Haaland to win a Ballon d'Or, if that's his goal, and become
you'd have to
greatest.
Imagine it would be a non-World Cup year or a non-European championship.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Would you swap Haaland for Mbappe?
Right now, no. No, I mean, well, it's choosing between your father and your mother, really, because if you have one of them, you're really lucky.
What don't do
you
want say to, anything, yeah. Yeah.
No, but if you have one of them, why do you want to swap him for the other one? I mean, that would be you have him.
Frank,
you have
Frank,
one of
no.
them. You have. You have
Frank,
this can't
Frank.
Be good.
No, just stop.
No, I'm not. No, I'm just saying. I thought the French would say he's choosing between your wife and your lover.
For Xhaka, with Messi back at full force, is it safe for us to assume that you're back on the Argentinian bandwagon?
No, we addressed this during the show, and the answer is a short and firm no.
Right.
firm.
Until when?
Quote unquote.
Mourinho has to change my mind every 2 days.
Perfect.
Got to wait a little bit.
Final question. Hi, Dan. How was Frank at Thanksgiving? Did he vacuum like he promised he would? Nah. There was no vacuum.
No,
but it was really good.
I really asked the hotel if they could lend me the vacuum, and
right.
They said no.
But I've got wood floors, haven't I? So the vacuum wouldn't be.
Yeah, it would
have
been. It would have been noisy, and
the dog wouldn't have liked it. Yeah. Denise may have been a bit offended.
yeah, because it was very clean, so I didn't need to do it. Well, I asked, before leaving, can I help you out?
Yeah.
And you say, no, go.
No, I was helping clean up. Yeah. You
were having an interesting conversation.
You just enjoyed the conversation.
We had the conversation we're not going to talk about, but the worst part of that night is when he decided to change his pants to wear shorts.
Yeah, oh, I got to get comfortable.
What was that about?
Well, because I...
Dan?
Yes.
Dan, what is that all about? Because I had to explain that to a lot of people on Twitter. Your colleague Dan with some legs going around.
Yes.
What was that all about?
So when I go out in the summer for a dinner with Frank, I wear shorts. Mm. And it makes Frank very angry because he says that you can't wear shorts to restaurants even if it's 100 degrees outside. Hence, I introduced shorts to my Thanksgiving attire just to wind Frank's up. Did you like my legs? They're looking good, weren't they?
Yeah. A little hairy.
I loved
your legs, yeah.
Somebody was comparing his calves with Grealish.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit offending to Grealish.
Beautiful calves.
Jack Grealish didn't like that.
Right.
No.
What were we saying? Oh, Frank, you can rant about the penalty now, if you want, in the Saudi Arabia game.
Oh, yeah. No, I think first it wasn't a penalty. On TV they said there is a contact, and then when I touch Ali,
careful.
You
now,
see, even if I do that, it doesn't fall, even if he was a striker. So I think that was
Ali's wrong, guys.
So, yeah, it wasn't a penalty. I know it's so wrong. That's why I took him as an example.
But Mark Clattenburg said it was a penalty. Former Premier League.
Yeah, but Mark Clattenburg is a referee. Doesn't understand anything about football. So we know that.
Clear penalty.
Jan says clear penalty.
Yeah, because he was a striker, but it's a light touch, and then after. If we consider that there is a penalty, I'm sorry, but Szczęsny doesn't have one of his foot.
I think he's just there.
His heel is just on the line.
I have the picture here.
You just hate goalies.
He's not on the line.
You hate goalies.
They've looked at it. That's easy.
Why don't you like Poland?
Why I hate Poland, that's more what he says every time, what I hate Poland. Or Szczęsny. No, I don't. But for me, it was clearly that he didn't have on the floor.
You said it wasn't a penalty, right?
I said it wasn't a penalty.
Right. So he makes a double save. Now, justice, right? If it wasn't a penalty to begin with, he makes a double save.
Yes, he's right.
There you go.
So why you asked me the question? That was useless.
What was useless?
the question, and I had to answer.
I was told to ask you about it.
I saw Saudi Arabian player. I love the way they play, the pace that they
right.
give. But every time you touch them, I mean, a little bit, they go on the floor. And many times low.
Right.
Well, we had that. We had Argentina against Mexico. So I guess I'm a little bit fed up with that.
Right. Mm. And Ronaldo as well, obviously.
Oh, my God. Penalty. Somebody said that he was smart.
Yeah, was it the FIFA technical director?
Yeah, what was that about?
Mondragon, who said
about?
That. The former goalkeeper. Yeah. He said that he was smart, that he did what he had to do to make sure the ref would give the penalty. It's not about the ref, it's about the VAR. You look at it and you clearly see that there isn't any penalty.
Have we run out of music?
That's it.
Music gone for some socks.
Right. We're off to go and buy some socks now.
More socks?
Tomorrow.
We're going to get a discount, right?
The blue navy one.
Do you want to say early Haaland?
Hello.
Do you want to say early Haaland before we go?
Haaland. Unbelievable!
Tomorrow, Germany against Spain.
Wow.
Frank thinks Germany are going to win.
Sam.
Unbelievable!
Guten Nacht!
Guten Nacht, auf Wiedersehen!
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.